You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's boxing podcast, in the company, as ever, of Big Daddy Bunce on Twitter, the one and only Steve Bunce. You well, Steve?
Well, Lee, I'm not quite sure, to be honest. It just seems to be a relentless run of about 4 or 5 months of weekend after weekend after weekend of massive fights. I mean, this last 4 months, this is better than most years, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. You're busy, and not only because of the brilliant boxing that we've got, but also the release of your book as well, Buncey. Can we give it a little bit of a plug? I'm sure you won't mind. The Big Fat Short History of British Boxing. I've been getting some fine reviews on Twitter, and I noticed it was it's been featured very highly on a few of the booksellers. The Waterstones put it in their top 4 books from the weekend as well, didn't they?
Yeah, people are really liking it. I think what it is, it's... if you're a boxing fan, you're familiar with all the names. Perhaps not all of the 1,300 that are in the book, but you're familiar with hundreds of them. And suddenly, all under one roof, so to speak, there's the, you know, there's the history. And it's quick, it's sharp. So people are doing funny things with it, Lee. They're reading the year they were born.
Nice.
Or they're reading the year of a massive fight that they can remember. Then they're maybe reading their partner's birthday. And so they do it. So they go. So instead of going from 1970, January the 1st, in order, people are reading, you know, 1982. Then they're going back to 1977. Then they're reading 2016, and that's great because that's really what we wanted. We wanted a book that people could just duck in and out of, and that would love it. It's 3,000 word segments, so basically it's very readable, very quick, and we've tried to keep it that way. And it's pacey, and people seem to be. People seem to be loving it.
Yeah.
I can't say anymore, but fantastic.
I
mean, people are liking it.
Good.
It's a fun book. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. You know, I shouldn't say this, but I duck in and out of it and I chuckle. So hey ho, and I wrote the thing.
Bunce, if you don't know about Bunce's writing career, then Bunce's other book, The Fixer, which I remember reading a few years ago now, Bunce. It's a great read. But I don't know. I've probably told you this at a time, Bunce. I couldn't help read it with your voice in my head, which was brilliant. It was like an audio book for me. I think you should do the Fixer on as an audio book. That'd be amazing.
Well, you know what? I'm not funny. That has been talked about because people keep doing that. They keep saying, "Oh, it's really good, Steve." But when I read it, I have to read it in your voice. I guess it's a compliment.
It is a compliment. You can just Google Bunce's Big Fat Short History of British Boxing. Available Amazon, Foyles, Hive, Waterstones, WH Smith, and you can go on there, do it traditional way, and go into a shop and pick it up off the shelf and buy it. I'm getting it for Father's Day, Bunce. It's on my list already. June 18th, Father's Day, and then I'm going to read it on holiday this year. I'm going on holiday in July, so I'll be reading it.
Make sure you get extra baggage because it weighs about 3 kilos.
I might have to do it the new way and put it on a device or something, what the kids do.
Oh, yuck. Oh, stop swearing. Anyway.
Right, let's have a look at this this weekend. We've got some cracking fights again, as Buncey mentioned. Let's start off over in the States, Buncey, in Chicago. Box Nation showing this really is the start of this career, which we hope is going to be absolutely fantastic. Priced this fight up at all. Michael Conlon versus Alfredo Chanez. He's 100-1 on Conlon. Fascinating to be at the start of something, Buncey.
What's so interesting here is it's fascinating. It's the second fight. High-profile debut in front of about 4,000 or 5,000 in the basement of Madison Square Garden. Now Chicago, massive Irish presence. This would be banged out. It's his second fight, and we're getting odds on it. Now, we have some weekends, Lee, when we have British title fights, and we don't get odds on British title fights. So it's telling you something. You know, people, you know, there's a demand. You know, there's a demand to lay off a few quid on Conlon. People want to be part of it. And to hark back to the book, you can watch a steady progress of McGuigan going from tiny hawks fighting in different parts of Britain and Ireland. And this following, this loyal following that builds and builds. And I assure you, by the time in 18 months or so time, when we got Conlon in proper fights, there will be a horde, a following of people that have been there from the start. It's got that real feel to it. You know, it's got that real feel to it. So the odds are obviously ridiculous, but the fact that he's showing up with the bookies tells you something about this kid. Michael Condon, keep your eyes and keep your ears across this guy's career.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, that's the great, as a boxing fan, it's brilliant to latch onto someone early on and follow the career right through. You know, I know we didn't latch onto Pacquiao in his early career, but, you know, when Satanta gave us the opportunity to follow Pacquiao from a very early stage of his career, from
Absolutely.
Our point of view, didn't it? I mean, he was well established by that point. But being able to follow someone like Tyson Fury through, you know, first fight, right through to, you can see every fight this person's ever had, and you can make your opinions and form your opinions from watching every second of his career, which I think is a brilliant thing to do for, you know, in boxing.
Well, it's also, in my opinion, it also prepares them, you know, Fury especially, because he's got big fight temperament, and Conlon, I think, has also got a big fight temperament. It prepares them for where they're going. So when Fury walks out in front of 50,000 like he did to beat Vladimir Klitschko, in November 2015, he was calm because he'd already been under the spotlight. People have been following him. He'd had a bit of expectation placed on his shoulders. And if a guy's going to go, and if you think a guy's going to go anywhere near the top, Lee, then that expectation is part of it. They better start dealing with that now, because one day they're going to walk out. We're going to talk about Kell Brook in a moment. He's going to walk out in front of 40-odd thousand people howling and screaming his name in his hometown. And you better be prepared. And you can't suddenly get prepared. You don't wake up one morning as a world champion and suddenly go, oh, that's fine, I can walk out in front of 90,000. You've got to be prepared and you've got to be special. And I think that little Conlon is a kid that will thrive. You know, if he was fighting in front of 90,000, it would take him 10 minutes to get to the ring, and he'd love every second of it. And that's really good at this stage of a young kid's career.
Let's come back to the UK, Cardiff, the Motorpoint Arena. There's an interesting fight on the card here, Bunty, which is for the British Cruiserweight title. Craig Kennedy taking on Matty Askin. This is on Channel 5, I think, this one. Craig Kennedy, his record reads 16 wins, 8 by stoppage, no losses. He's been around since 2013. Fought a few times last year. This is his first fight this year. Matty Askin, he's been around a little bit longer than that. 2008 he started. Seems like he's been around forever. 21 wins, 3 losses. He's been stopped once himself. His last loss was to Oval McKenzie back in 2015. Had a couple of losses around 2012 as well. But either side of that, he's on a bit of a winning streak now, Bunty. And Matty Askin is the favourite here, 1-2 to beat Craig Kennedy, who's 13-8. Plenty of betting on this. We've got round by round betting. We've got the method of how it finishes as well. So we can get our teeth stuck into this a little bit.
Well, this is not necessarily under the radar. We're talking about it, but this is the type of fight that in this last few years, because we've been so concentrated on glamour and big fixes, these are the types of fights that have been sliding under radars. Thankfully, this hasn't. It'll get a bit of exposure on terrestrial TV. I mean, it might, you know, for all we know, it might come in with a million plus viewers, which is brilliant. Absolutely. In fact, it might come in with more, because there is a wave of enthusiasm for the sport, and that's not just after Joshua and Klitschko. It's been building for an awful long time, you know, So consequently, a fight like this, we'll finally get a bit of exposure, because generally, you know, Matty Askins will fight, fairly low key, as will Craig. I fancy Askin here. I think the bookies have got this right. I fancy Askin on points, and I fancy him controlling. Just knows a little bit more. He just, in my opinion, just knows a little bit more. He's a little bit longer in the two, but it wouldn't be surprising. It's away from home for Askin, remember, so that's also, and the crowd will be behind the local or near local, so to speak. But I just fancy asking on points.
Yeah, 11-4. That decent little bet. That the favourite in that market is Matty Askin by stoppage. So worth having a look at that one. Matty Askin on points to beat Craig Kennedy. Of course, the big night of the weekend is in Sheffield at Bramall Lane, where Kell Brook will be defending his title against Errol Spence Jr. We'll come to that in a minute. A few other fights on the card, but we've got a vacant Commonwealth Super Featherweight. We've got WBA Continental Super Middleweight. Vacant Commonwealth British Empire Heavyweight title as well. George Groves in the build. The ones I've mentioned, David Allen's fight against Lenroy Thomas, Jamie Cox v. Lewis Taylor, Andy Townend versus John Keyes. All of them involve kind of short price fighters here. You've got Selby at 1-12. You've got Jamie Cox is at 1-33. So you'd expect them to... David Allen, by the way, is 130 on. So a little bit bigger. Maybe that's the closest of the three fights. You'd expect Selby and... Selby and Cox to get the job done there, wouldn't you, Bunty?
Yeah, you'd think so. But, you know, this is... you'd think so. The Cox one's interesting because he can get frustrated. He can lose his mind. And if I've got a fighter in the opposite corner to Cox, I'm telling them, keep your hands up, wind him up, he'll get himself thrown out, and he will get himself thrown out one day. But, you know, you fancy Cox, don't get me wrong. But he's a bit wild, Cox. Sometimes he lets himself down with his behaviour. He nearly got thrown out in a fight on Box Nation earlier this year or late last year. It was ridiculous. I mean, just absurd. Just boxing like a fool. Managed to... I mean, it was a real foul-filled encounter. He won every single second of it against, I think it was a sort of Nicaraguan based in Spain. It was absolutely ridiculous. And as I say, he's not averse to using some of boxing's black arts. So aside from losing his mind, it should be quite, you know, he should win on points or not points. I think he'll get to him. I think they're not getting to him. I'm just trying to find you the name of that guy that you had there. October last year, Martin Fidel Rios. Rios had 3 points deducted. Cox had 2 points deducted. It was absolute mayhem. Rios was down in the third round. Cox was cut by the left eye in the fifth from a head clash. It was absolute madness. Now that can happen with Jamie Cox. He can lose his mind. He can lose his way. And Lewis Taylor's a sensible guy. You know, he's tough. He's hard. He's been there. Sure, he's lost to some people. Lost a Commonwealth title fight to Tommy Langford. Lost on points to Luke Keeler. But it's a hard fight of Eamon O'Kane, a majority decision. If this goes five or six rounds, it's a tougher fight. You know, Cox needs to make a statement. Cox wants to be in world super middleweight contention. He needs to make a statement.
Yeah.
So he'll try, but don't be at all. I fancy Cox. I fancy Cox in the second half of the fight from about round seven on.
Yeah.
But don't be at all surprised if he ends up getting himself disqualified. Hmm.
Looking at the fight just below Cal Brook, it's George Groves back in the ring against Fedor Chudinov for the WBA world super middleweight title. We've talked a lot about George Groves on this podcast, haven't we, Buncey? We've seen, again, another fighter who we've seen from kind of his very first fight right through to those huge fights with Carl Froch. Every time he gets to this level, Buncey, it seems to fall away. Obviously, Badou Jack, he lost that on the split decision, and that was a WBC belt he was going for. He beat David Brophy for the vacant WBA International Super Middleweight title, and he's kept hold of that. But this is a huge chance for him, isn't it? This has to be the chance that he takes, really, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, well, listen, this is the one. I mean, there's very few boxers get a fifth chance at a world title fight, and that's what we'd be talking about if he managed to lose to Chudinov. The only thing that worries me slightly is I think George has put himself under immense pressure. I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and it was like interviewing a guy 2 hours before he fights, and it really was over 2 weeks ago.
It's very intense, though, isn't he, Buncey? All the way, you know. I know his whole persona during that Carl Froch thing was that he was Mr. Laid Back, but that never quite washed from me, really. He was laid back during that, but I think it was an act of being laid back. He seems to be a very intense character.
Well, he's not. There's no acting involved now, Lee.
No.
He's out in the open. He knows it's not necessarily make or break, because we're in a business at the moment where really what you're doing to build up to a world title is irrelevant. People are getting world title fights that don't deserve world title fights. That's understandable. That's just the way the business works. But it would be going some for him to lose this one and then get a fifth chance. It's very rare that people get a fifth chance at a world title. Several win it with the fourth chance. Several win it with a third chance. I think that even a weary... Even an older, even a more seasoned George Groves beats Chudinov.
Right.
I really do. I mean, Chudinov's got some rounds on his belt. Obviously, he had all those rounds with Sturm.
Yeah, he beat Sturm, didn't he, in 2015, then lost to him last year.
Yeah, beat and lost. So there's a lot of rounds. And obviously, he had 12 rounds with Buglioni where he got clipped. He won comfortably. He still had to fight and he was marked up. Yeah, my gut feeling is that George... wins. I think George is going to box sense. I think Shane McGuigan is a sensible coach. He doesn't send his boys out to do stupid things. I fancy Groves, and I fancy Groves on points, but I'll be stunned if it's not a bit of a push, a bit of a hard fight. Groves on points.
Yeah, 8-11, George Groves to win on points. I mean, he's had a fantastic career. Despite many people thinking maybe he's been a disappointment, and he gets to fight in an outdoor arena again in the UK on a massive bill again, doesn't he? He still commands that respect of being on these big bills, and it's topped by Cal Brooks' defence of his IBF welterweight title against Errol Spence Jr. Fascinating fight, this one, Buncio. Listen to your BBC boxing podcast with Mike Costello, and great to hear him back on the airwaves early in the week. And you guys went through a lot of it. If you want to maybe a longer, more in-depth look at that with a great interview with Dom Ingle, then make sure you check out the BBC podcast. Obviously, we're looking at the betting point of view, which you guys mentioned actually on the podcast. 6-4, Kell Brook, the outsider here in his hometown. Outside with all his fans against Errol Spence Jr., who's 4-7, 20-1 the price of the draw. Loads of markets available on this fight. A lot of people in the office this week, Buncey, have been saying to me, "Oh, does Kell win? Does Kell win?" And I say the same thing to all of them. If Kell Brook is on his absolute A game, then I've got no doubt that he should be the favourite. But throughout the course of his career, even though I heard that interview with Dom Ingle, and Dom Ingle came across saying he's absolutely ready, we've done everything right, long camp, ready. I cannot ever be sure that what kind of camp Kell's had and what's gone on and where he is. Is that fair? Does it make sense from a betting point of view?
It makes absolute sense. I think this is a really hard fight. I like Errol Spence. He's not a great talker. That's one of his slight problems. He's not a great talker. He leaves a lot of the talking to his coach. I think his name's Derek James. It's a hard fight, Lee. It's a really hard fight. And not because Kell's coming down 13 pounds from middleweight, and not because, obviously, he had that shocking injury that required surgery, and then, also had a little plate stuck in somewhere around his eye socket. Not just because of that, but just because, you've been around for a long time. You know, he's been a pro for an awful lot of years, 15 years, 14 years. He's won the British title 9 years ago. He beat Sean Porter a few years ago to win the world title he's got now. He had 3 defences that he didn't break a sweat, so he was treading water. He had that nearly fatal assault in Tenerife when he was attacked with a machete and massive damage to his leg. And then, of course, he had that brutal fight with Golovkin, which two judges had it even, and one judge had him in front at the time of the stoppage when Dominic Ingle threw the towel in. So it's been hard. It's been tough. It's been grueling in his career. Don't worry about that.
And it needn't have been as well, Buncey. Do you know what I mean? It needn't have been like that.
It needn't have been. So suddenly, I mean, if this fight was, say, 6 months after beating Porter, I'd fancy Kell big time. If this fight was last year before the Golovkin fight, was September last year, I'd fancy Kell. But various things have added up to make me start to think that it's not that Spence's the second coming of whoever. I mean, he's a terrific fighter, don't get me wrong. I'm still going towards Kell. I'm still going towards Kell. I know Kell can box. You won't try and blast this guy out. You know, this would be Kell doing what he did against Porter, controlled aggression, picking his shots, doing this. However, there's just this great run, and I talk about this on that BBC podcast, this great run that Dominic Ingle dismissed, but I don't think can be dismissed so easily. This great run that he's been on, Errol Spence, against really, really good fighters. You know, he's taken care of all these really good fighters really easily. He's not had a problem taking care of them. He's beaten them out of sight, to be honest with you.
He must have had about, through 2015, 2016,
seven fights.
He's finished them all, but he's also knocked a lot of them down more than once in the fight as well, so he's dominated, hasn't he?
And they're really good fighters, these guys. You know, these guys, this is this argument I've made. Mike Costello's counter-argument on the BBC podcast was that Kell would have beaten all of them. Yes, he would have. Yeah. But also, Kell would have remained sharp. Kell would have remained in better fighting condition, in my opinion. So he's going into this absolutely brilliant Errol Spence. Do I think Errol Spence can stop Kell? I don't really think so. Do I think Kell can stop Errol Spence? I don't really think so. I think it goes 12 rounds, and I think that Kell nicks the tightest of decisions. The Americans will be screaming. That's my prediction. Yeah. The Americans will be screaming. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be close. And I think Kell will nick it. And that's why you get home advantage. That's why you fight in a balmy evening in Yorkshire in front of 35,000 people from your supporting you. That's why you do it. That's why you put your hand in your pocket. Last week we saw Javonta Davis beat Liam Walsh, and he's a top talent, don't get me wrong. And Walsh got it all wrong on the night, which Walsh admits to. I don't think we're going to see a repeat of that. I fancy Kell, and I fancy him on points, but I fancy it really hard.
Yeah, I suppose we don't know how Errol Spence Jr. will react to... I mean, he's fought in Canada before. I think that's the only time he's ventured out of the States. And, you know, this is a different kettle of fish fighting outside in the UK, you know, with the crowds that... the way the crowd is towards foreign fighters. That's a good price, that though, Buncey. That 3-1 for Brook by decision.
Well, that's it. That's my. And you know, and Spence said it won't bother me. It won't bother me. Well, not only will it will bother him, but his corner haven't been there. He's not coming out with Manny Stewart or Angelo Dundee or Lou Duva. He's not coming out with one of the giants of boxing that have been around the world and been in real hostile circumstances. No, he's coming out with a guy who's not a massive internationally renowned trainer, who's not been in Japan, who's not been in Australia against a hostile crowd, who's not brought a fighter out against the Klitschko, who's not been in London against 15,000 hostile people screaming. So all of the team are relative novices, trust me. And it will get to them. The whole thing will get to them. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And by the way, Eddie's too nice. Eddie needs to use a few of Barney Eastwood's and Mickey Duff's tricks. He needs to keep these guys waiting. He needs to stick these guys in the worst changing room in the world. He needs to make sure that these guys have to walk through a cauldron of a couple of thousand fans. And then once they get there, he needs to make sure that there's a terrible smell in the changing room. So they've got no calm, no peace. Trust me. Barney Eastwood used to make sure that whenever guys come over from anywhere where it was hot, whether they were African, whether they were South or Central American, he'd stick them in the coldest guest house he could find, facing the sea with the windows broken. And once they got to the hotels and the venues, he'd get them in the lifts at the Europa and stop the lift. So they'd be going up to the press conference on the seventh floor. They'd be in a lift for 2 hours. Damn right. He did everything. Absolutely right. And all of it was legal. And Don King does the same thing. Bob Arum does the same thing. Eddie's too nice. They get picked up in lovely cars, put in lovely hotels, given lovely food. For God's sake.
Nice guy.
Make it a bit hard for them.
Nice guy, Eddie.
Which is perfectly nice, but I'm telling you, you want every advantage you can get. And if those guys get, you know, you put them, for a start, you take them from the hotel in two different cars. One car gets lost, and the other car takes 3 hours. So they don't get to the fight at 7 o'clock. They get to the fight at 9 o'clock and quarter to ten. You know, you've got to do some business, bro. That's what it's about. That's why you paid all that money to put the fight on in your hometown. Hey, listen, you want to speak to Andy Holligan or what happened to him when he went down to Puebla in Mexico to fight Julio Cesar Chavez. Speak to Richie Wood or what happened to him when he went to Baltimore to fight on the Don King card and 5 hours from his hotel to the weigh-in. They nearly made him miss the weight. He got there with about 3 minutes to spare because they were in the back of a car. So that's the sort of thing. That's what you have. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's not underhand. It's gamesmanship.
Don't forget the hashtag your odds facility means that you can pick your own odds on this fight as well. So you just tweet your bet to @WilliamHill with that hashtag on it, and you can pick your own bet. There's a few in there already, but we're recording this on Thursday. But Brook to win on points on, or Spence Jr. to win in rounds 1-8 is even money. Spence Jr. to be to win and to be knocked down is 9-2. Kell Brook to win and both fighters to be knocked down 18-1. So if you've got a bet that you like out there, it's not listed under the normal headings. Then all you do is tweet that. I know that we're the best price in all the round betting as well. So if you fancy a round, then William Hill's gonna be best price. And they tell me that on Saturday at 5 o'clock, they're going to release a special offer. So they're going to boost a price on, I imagine it'll be on one of the method of results markets. That's what it usually is. I think it was even money, wasn't it, for Joshua to win by stoppage for that Joshua Klitschko, which probably was the hardest even money shot you're ever going to land. But it was fun watching it come in if you backed it. So make sure you're near your app or in a William Hill shop or online around 5 o'clock on Saturday, and I shouldn't tell you this, but you know, and they'll release a special offer then. Buncey, looking forward to the weekend. I know you will be as well. Thanks very much for your time today, and we'll reconvene for the next big night.
Lee, thanks very much. Speak to you soon, son.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.